And you are listening to KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM. You can find us on the web at coastradio.org. And if you're wandering around with your mobile phone in hand, you can listen using the TuneIn app and just type in KMUN. The forecast for today was for mostly sunny skies. We're not getting that. And highs near 62. We're not getting that either. It's 69 right now out on the porch at the Tillicum House, so a little warmer and a little cloudier than we expected. Tonight, increasing clouds, lows around 52. Tomorrow, cloudy, becoming mostly sunny with highs near 65. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, lows around 53. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy, highs near 65. And lows in the mid-50s. Arts Live and Local is coming up next. My name is Roger Rocca. I'll be sitting in because Carol is off at the State Fair having a good time. And we've got a bunch of great guests lined up for you. Well, we're going to start out with some visual arts from Ilwaco. We have with us Penny Treat, Renee O'Connor, and Wally Mann. And they are featured artists at the Artport Gallery. There's a reception going on this afternoon. There's an art walk going on this afternoon. So
absolutely.
Tell us about it.
We just want to invite the public to stop by. The Renee O'Connor, a pottery artist, myself, I do a little bit of everything, woodblock and watercolor. So excited because we're sort of piggybacking this event onto the Ilwaco First Friday Art Walk. So this reception starts between 5 and 7 for the artists. Renee and I will be...
You are Penny.
I'm Penny, and this is Renee.
Right.
And we'll be there for talking about some of the stories of living on the bay and sharing some of our stories. And so we would love to have people stop by and roam the entire area. There's lots going on. The Salt, you can get a bite to eat at the Salt. You can go to a bookstore. You can go through the other galleries, go downtown, have some pizza, hit the art antique shops. Just a variety. Just a nice evening to stroll
around.
Just make
an afternoon evening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you have a reception this afternoon that you aren't at right now because you're here. So tell us about the reception, and then how long does the art walk go?
Okay. Well, the reception is about Renee and I. We both live on the Willapa Bay. So the theme is called Once in a Blue Moon. And I'm sure Renee has her thoughts about what that means to her. And I think the unique thing for me was to see when we hung the gallery yesterday was I had no idea what she was doing in the way of her pottery.
Mm-hmm.
And she has these lovely large platters and some other interesting pieces. And they went beautifully with my watercolors. So to me, that was just like a gift from the universe. Thank you for that. And so I think when people come in and look at it, they'll see this lovely transition. It's not just one item. Now, I like to set it up as a kind of a vignette for mm-hmm. all intent purposes so that people can see maybe what their living room might look like. Okay, well, there's a piece of pottery on the wall. There's a piece of art. Here's a piece of furniture and so forth. So it becomes something.
All kind of dances with each other.
Yeah, things kind of interplay and so forth. So
Renee, tell us a little about your work.
Well, I'm mainly a tile artist where I do commissions, but once in a blue moon, once in a while, I do just pieces that can be hung on the wall. I have wall vases that you can put flowers in or just as a sort of a small sculptural piece. And I also have some mosaic jewelry. They're sort of little miniature mosaics in the form of pendants and earrings.
And we also have Wally with us, Wally Mann, and you are going to be the next month's featured artist, I understand.
Thank you, Roger. Yes, it's 1st of September is when I have a chance, and I'm very thankful for that. Renee and Penny live on Willapa Bay in the lower end, and I live up on the northern end in a place called Tokeland. So mm-hmm. we have a pretty good spread of area there, though we're both in the same little mud puddle. But it's a great place to be, and I have a great opportunity there to put my work out in front of the public again. And Penny's little art port gallery, it's not gigantic, but it's pretty good size. It's well contained, well done, and it's a place where I really feel happy and proud to have been able to get a chance to put my things in there.
Well, I think we all live in a place that inspires artists on both sides of the river.
We certainly do. And I of course, like I told you earlier, I've been in love with Wally for a long time, but I meant his work.
Uh-huh.
He does these wonderful, of course, he's a pastel artist as well. And you can tell where he lives and how the environment influences him. The artists are in Artport, we're like a family, you know, that's just a delightful. I have a story about the Blue Moon, so if you don't mind.
Well, before you go on to that, I just wanted to mention, I noticed in the Coast Weekend that there are an awful lot of people involved in this art walk today. And if you're interested in going and checking out what's there, it's just inside the front cover of Coast Weekend, which you can pick up free
about
anywhere. And you can kind of get an overview of what's going on in Iwako right now, actually.
Right now, absolutely.
And again, it goes until how late tonight?
It goes, well, the art walk is from 5 to 7.
Right.
But people linger on much later, you know. None of the galleries really close. If there's somebody there, we just stay around and... Mm-hmm. Talk art. Mm-hmm. We can do that for sure. Yeah.
So your reception is going out right now, and the art walk itself starts at 5.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me your story.
Well, the story, yeah. We Renee and we were all talking about the story. Well, maybe my husband probably won't like me doing this, but I'm going to go ahead and do her anyway.
Like my wife.
One night, you know, we live on the bay, and there's a long driveway to get to our house. And I'm more sensitive, I guess, to the tires coming on tires that you could hear, you know, maybe driving down the driveway late at night, like 2-3 in the morning. And I woke up one night, and I said, Tom, there's somebody's driving down the driveway, and then I've just heard him slam the door. And he's oh, man. Well, he gets up, and he's in his birthday suits, and he grabs his .357, and he goes into, he sneaks into the bathroom, which will give you an indirect shot to the front door. And he sneaks along the slide, slivers along the side of the wall, and he gets to the door, and of course, that person can't see him, and he can see the hand of the person grabbing the door. And he said, don't touch that door. Carolyn Glenn, she's a neighbor of ours. Carolyn says, don't shoot, Tom. I just wanted to invite you to a Blue Moon party down on the bay.
So, well, you were talking earlier about... a restoration project that you have in mind, I wanted to hear about how you bought your first party dress at a hardware store.
Oh, you are good. Well, you know, I got invited. Actually, Carolyn Glenn's husband of many, many years, maybe 40 or more years, invited me to a party at Dr. Neese's house. And that was a big thing. Dr. Neese was a local physician. And on rare occasions, we'd take the ferry across to go shopping at, I think it was Leon's or something here, and I'd get a new dress. Well, it was way too late, so the only place in town left, they didn't have much of a selection, maybe 3 dresses. There was this one black dress, sheath, very pretty, velvet, and I bought it. And I went out that night, and it was quite nice.
But what was the store?
It was DuPay Brothers, and that's the downtown building that is in dire need of restoration. Mm-hmm. So there's a great love of that building, and I and many other people have thought about creating a Friends of the DuPay building and getting that restored.
So that wasn't actually a hardware store at the time you bought the dress,
No,
was it
wasn't.
Okay.
It had right. morphed into, it had a variety of things. You could get... It was sort of like Jack's up in Ocean Park. You could get a little bit of everything.
A little everything, yeah.
So how long have you been potting? I'm playing in the mud, I guess is the way we really ought to say it.
Oh, let's see, since 1976. Not 1776, but 1976. Yeah, I've been making mostly tiles, like I said, and started in California where I grew up. Did raku tiles around fireplaces, and when I started out making the tiles, people would say, "What do you do with it?" And I said, "Well, it's a tile, you know, like a tile that you can tile, put it in your kitchen. It's very functional, but it's also decorative." So, I've been doing that ever since.
So you actually have been doing art almost all your life.
Yeah. Well, in second grade, I drew horses a lot.
Okay. Why is it that girls in second grade draw horses? What is that?
I don't know.
How about you, Penny?
I was not only drawing, but I eventually was writing up, too. Well, my mother had a design studio in Long Beach. It was called the Georgian House. And she used to set up her old... the old wallpaper books, those great big ones. I don't know if anybody remembers them.
I remember.
Well, she used to tear them out, and then on the back side, she'd put me, and I was like about eight, she'd put me drawing on the back of them. And I remember I was so small, I got myself caught in, you know, the architectural stools. Got myself caught in one of those. That's how small I was when I started drawing on the back. And then I was always doing art in school, and then high school I was science chairman, you know how that all goes. And then I had an uncle, Louis Bunce, from Portland. He's kind of famous, and I was taking some classes at the Portland Art Museum from him for a while, but I really didn't appreciate it until a little later. And then I went off to Coronation. Got my degree in interior design and did a lot of commercial work all over the place. Worked in Hawaii for Carol Burnett and, I don't know, a lot of famous people. They had a lot of money, and it was sure fun spending it.
And, Wally, you didn't draw horses in second grade, did you?
No, I really I didn't. There was plenty of them around where I was. Or I was at the time. I got out of high school, and I know I'm going to be a little bit earlier on these ladies, but 1955, and I went off to art school and went south and put in a few years. And when in the early 60s, things were getting a little tight for fine arts, so I went into the sign business. Mm-hmm. And I signed business for 40 years and painted on the side as well. And that's what I kind of gave up the sign business, finally. But I'm an avid painter, and I love to do it and enjoy it completely. And I still have the same tools I basically had when I was painting signs. So, Yep, it's been a great time, and I hope it's going to go on forever. As they say, the road goes on forever.
Tell us a little about your style. What kind of style of things do you do?
I'm probably representational, I suppose. Some of it I try to get a little looser on, and now everything has to be new, and it's been that way as long as I can ever remember. The art business, there's always looking for new trends, new things going on, and that's what it is now. Of course, we're on the move, and that's a good thing. Color-wise, bright and designy, and a picture you want to live with in your home or your den or wherever you would want to hang your artwork. So
you just made me wonder. We talk about people today having shorter attention spans than used to be true, and I'm wondering how, if at all, that affects art and what you do. Does that make any sense at all? Or
the only thing I could say about that is if you're in a gallery and if you have something up and a person stops and looks at it for a full 60 seconds or a minute and a half, you've pretty much been a success.
That's a win.
Right. That's a win.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a delight having all of you here. Let's go over the basics again so we know that right now at the Artport Gallery in Ilwaco, there is an open house and a reception. And then tonight, starting from 5 to 7, a whole bunch of galleries around Ilwaco, and businesses are open. And
yes,
it just all ready for people to come and have a good evening.
Have a good evening, yeah, absolutely.
Brian. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to add, this is Renee, that Brian O'Connor, who happens to be my husband, is going to be playing his guitar and singing down at the Artport Gallery from 5 to 7. Some people probably know him a little bit. He plays at the Shelburne on Tuesday nights, so he's doing a little gift to us for the show.
Sounds great.
And then please just remember for everyone to stop in September, the first Friday in September, for Wally's opening. They won't be disappointed.
Sounds great. So, Penny Treat, Renee O'Connor, and Wally Mann, thanks very much for being with us. And hope lots of folks go up to Ilwaco this afternoon and this evening to check you out.
Thank you.
And next up,
we've
got somebody coming in from the Imogen Gallery here in Astoria. So thanks very much for being with us. You are listening to Arts Live and Local on KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, live on the web at coastradio.org. And we have with us right now Cynthia Lotti, who has a solo exhibition of new drawings going on starting tomorrow night at Imogen Gallery. So, Cynthia, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That will work better.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your work and about the exhibition.
Okay. The exhibition is landscapes, drawings with paintings. I do a lot of mixed materials in the pieces, and they are from around this area as well as from around Lincoln City area, Cascade Head. In the fall, last fall, I had a residency at the Sitka Center for Art and Ecology, and some of the work was done there. So about half the show was done of landscapes around that area, and then half are local kind of locations.
This is a place that inspires.
Yes.
Inspires.
Yes,
art.
It does.
Now, landscapes is not all you do. It's what you've done for the show.
Yes. About 10 years ago, I started to do landscapes when I was, you know, out in nature, camping and, you know, just anytime I left the city, I just became inspired to draw what I was seeing. And then from that point on, I've slowly kind of almost taught myself in a way, how to, what works best for me. And it's a great way to experience nature, just is to draw it. It's also very challenging. That's the other thing I really, really enjoy about it, is that I feel that I'll never really capture it. You know, it cannot be done. So there's always that challenge. And I love that challenge. And I love just, I'm always excited to see what happens when I see something and I say, oh, God, I'm going to try for that. See if I can capture that.
How close can you come?
Yeah. But my other body of work that I do is sculpture. So, so they're related in, I guess in some way, I'm not really sure how. Maybe just, I really.
Well, when you're doing your sculpture, what are you? What
I use clay. I do ceramic sculpture. Are figurative. So, you know, the relationship I could see between the landscape and the sculpture is maybe just in the expressive marks and the way they're both. I kind of lean towards being expressive in both bodies of work.
So you're doing your opening tomorrow night in conjunction with the Astoria Art Walk, which is going on, and there's a reception you're going to have?
Yeah, from 5 to 8 at the Imaging Gallery, and Imaging Gallery is on 11th between Commercial and Marine Drive.
Yeah.
I'll be there from 5 to 8, and then the exhibit is up through August 8th, and it's actually, I'm pretty sure she's probably done putting it up today, so I just dropped the work off, and it looks lovely, and I'm delighted to be showing there.
So, yeah, Imogen is right next to Cargo and
across
from the Astoria Coffee House.
Yeah, so it's right in the heart of it. Is the heart of it.
So, at your reception that you're having this evening.
Tomorrow night.
I'm sorry.
Don't want people to.
No, don't go tonight.
Don't go tonight.
It's not happening. Tomorrow night's the Astoria Art Walk.
Yeah.
What I wanted to mention is that the Astoria Art Walk is also in Coast Weekend. It is on page 9. So you can
you can get an idea of what's happening.
But when you have a reception, what kinds of questions do people ask
you?
What do they want to know about?
It's always interesting. I'm trying to think. Usually they just, you know, they'll talk about where the location might be or how I did a certain thing, what materials I'm using, you know, things like that. I'm always curious to see what gets asked, and I'm grateful that people usually are very good about not asking too personal questions or difficult questions. So usually they're pretty relaxing, and it's just I enjoy talking to people about the work. So
you probably get other artists who want to know,
how'd you do that? I just always say, I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I just, you know, really, because I did, a lot of times I actually don't have any idea. And, you know, for every successful one, there's probably three that did not succeed. So it's a real hit and miss for me.
Well, back to your landscapes.
Yes.
They're probably part of they're in your genes.
Yes.
Because you said your family came from Finland.
Yes, they did.
Came here.
Yes. Finland, which is, I have visited several times and is quite beautiful and very connected to the land. Yeah, my grandparents came from Taivasalo, Finland in 1910. And actually, I have my grandmother's uncle, I found out recently, came over in 1888. So they were part of the early migration of Finns to this area. And then my father grew up here. So, yeah.
What would you like people to take away from your work when they come in and
how are you
wanting it to affect them?
Wow, yeah, that is a good question. I think I don't really think about that when I'm making it, but I do always love it when people respond, and mm-hmm. I don't It doesn't matter if they respond positively or negatively, as long as I can evoke a response. Of course, I would like a positive one, like, oh, you've captured that, or I've felt that there, or that really, you know, says something. I don't know.
Do you find that people often recognize the landscape?
It's like, sometimes they do, yeah. I mean, and in this show, there's definitely spots that, you know, that can be recognized because there's some features that are recognizable. But, yeah, so mostly I just want them, if I can evoke a response, I think that's, then it's a success. You know, if people are wanting to put their emotional energy into responding, then I think I'm successful.
Well, we were talking earlier with the folks from Iwako about attention spans.
That. Yes.
And,
especially
said,
now.
You know, if you can get someone to stop and look for a minute,
exactly.
That's a big
win. No, that's a huge, and, you know, when people look at art, they don't spend a lot of time. So if I can get someone to really, you know, if the work is honest, I feel like if the work is honest or whatever, successful, then people will spend time with it. And, and that's a big compliment. You know,
and it's really nice when somebody buys it and takes it home.
Well,
and spends
of course,
a lot
yes, you can have lots of time with it. If you buy it, it's yours. You can do whatever you want with it.
Well, it's interesting, though, when you do buy art and you look at it, you see something different in it almost every time you look at it.
I do with the art I have up, and it, you know, definitely it's it becomes a part of your world in a really special way, I think. And I encourage people to, you know, collect art and buy art just for that very reason, that it'll exist in your home or wherever it is and affect you every day. You'll see it every day. I mean, that's.
Tell me a little about how you got started as an artist.
As an artist, well, I had very creative parents. So I grew up in Portland. And like I said, my dad grew up here and he was a carpenter here, but always was very, they were very do-it-yourself types of people. And I just think they taught me to be experimental and use my imagination. And so that led me to go to art school and really pursue art as my vocation or my life, really. Cool. So, yeah, so that's just been, now it's been quite a while that I've been doing that. And landscape is fairly recent, last 10 years that I've been doing it. So I like that it's still so challenging for me.
Carpentry is art as well.
Yes, it is,
so
exactly.
Your dad was already in art.
He really was, yes, right.
Well, let's repeat again. It's tomorrow night, not tonight, like I keep wanting to say, with the Astoria Art Walk.
Yes.
And your reception is?
From 5 to 8 at the Imogen Gallery.
At Imogen
Gallery. Come down.
All right. Well, Cynthia, thanks very
much. Well, thanks for having me. It's been lovely.
Enjoyed talking with you, and good luck with the show tomorrow
night. Thank you.
And I hope people buy all of them.
Oh, yes, please do. All of them.
All right. We'll be back again. We have a whole troop of actors here from the Coaster Theater down in Cannon Beach, and we'll be talking with them in just a moment.
Bridget O'Malley, you've left my heart a-shaken with hopeless desolation. I'll have you to know it's the wondrous admiration your quiet face has taken. And your beauty will haunt me wherever I go. My Sunday, it is weary. My Sunday, it is gray now. My heart is a cold thing. My heart is a stone. All joy is dead within me. My life has gone away now. For another has taken my love. And I'll meet you there on the drum sleep. Your quiet face is taken, and your beauty will haunt me wherever I go.
All right, you're listening to Arts Live and Local on KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and we have with us an entire troupe of thespians from the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach, and they are doing a repertory this summer and doing two plays, doing Clue and Steel Magnolias. And so tell me a little bit about how that works when you're going back and forth. You know, you're alternating nights with them?
Yes, we perform Wednesday through Saturday in July, and then Wednesday through Sunday in August.
You have to tell me who you are, too.
Oh, I'm Jean Rice.
And Jean, if all of you could, if you can get, say, within a foot of the mic, that would be great. We're sharing mics here because we have five people. So you're alternating nights.
So, yes. So they either perform a Wednesday, Friday, or a Thursday, Saturday.
And how does that work in terms of the set and so on?
We have triangles, what we call them, and they can turn very quickly. So basically, every night we have crew that comes in and flips the stage around.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So instead of having to haul things on and off stage, you can turn things and mm-hmm. create the stage for the next show. Very mm-hmm. clever. Well, who are the people who are in Clue? All right, so we have three in Clue. So I want the three of you to tell me about, first you have to identify yourself, but tell me about Clue. It's based on a board game, which is unusual to start with, and now it's also a musical. So what is a musical like that's based on a board game?
It's just like any other musical, except for it's wacky lyrics, weird, not traditional melodies sung by a two-dimensional character. You get to just be a kid again. And as Frank will probably tell you with his character, he has the hardest job of all of us. We just get, Gene and I get to just play. We get to play and be crazy, weird, and help set the scene. So.
And that was Richard Bowman talking to you.
Who doesn't follow instructions, right?
No. Richard, who? What character do you play?
I play Mr. Green.
Yeah. You're the one who did in someone in the parlor with a candlestick, or is? Am I remembering the right
suspects.
Game? Right.
Each night is different.
Yeah. And I'm Frank Jagodnik, and I'm playing Mr. Body, and my role, if you want to say so, as I'm the host of the game. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who introduces the game to all the audience. They have everything to play with, you know, the cards and their pencils. And then I give them the clues. As each scene plays out, I'll give them a clue. But it's always done a little cryptic. We don't give them, like, a straight clue. They have to analyze it a little bit. And then at the end, we see how many got all three right. You know, suspect, room, and weapon. And
so you're saying it's a little different every night.
Every night it is different.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, one of the things that I do is I go to three volunteers, and they draw from the suspect cards, the weapon cards, and the room cards. They draw one from each, just like you do in the game, and put it in the envelope, and I have the envelope.
It's a confidential envelope.
Yes. And then we know who did it, in what room, and that. And from then on, I have to change all the clues to coordinate with that. And that's what Richard was talking about, is my dialogue will change every night.
So in a way, you're doing a combination between a written musical and improv. Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
A little bit.
With audience participation.
Yeah, and audience participation. And they love it. I would say the last two shows, at least two of the shows, we had like over 20 winners. I mean, people really pay attention and play the game. I would say well over half the audience plays the game.
That sounds like an awful lot of fun. So Is it which nights is Clue on? Is it the
varies.
Same nights of the week, or
no,
you know,
it
just completely
it
rotates?
Yeah.
It's tonight. Buy tickets.
Tonight, buy tickets. And where would one get tickets if one wanted tickets?
You can
tickets?
Go online to coastertheater.com, or you can go to the box office, which is open until, well, it's actually open right now, up until show. And tickets are 25.
Yeah. And the show starts at
7:30.
7:30. Okay. And the lovely Coaster Theater at Cannon Beach. So, we also have some characters from Steel Magnolias here.
Yes.
Will you, and we're talking about a whole different kind of play.
Yes.
It is a comedy. It's funny in places, but it's also
comedy drama.
Yeah, it's comedy
also,
drama.
Very poignant drama.
Yes. It's a heart tugger in places.
Yeah.
So, introduce yourself and tell me who you play. And
my name is Gigi Chadwick, and I play Weezer Boudreau. I am the senior member of the cast, and I am a curmudgeon to boot.
Am I remembering correctly that was the Shirley MacLaine role?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, and a wonderful part. And Weezer is not spelled W-E-E-Z-E-R, as you would guess. It's what, O-U-I?
O-U-I-S-E-R, that is short for Louisa.
And I'm Deanna Mumjohn-Jovic, and I play Clary Belcher, who is the other senior member of the cast and Weezer's counterpart. She was the mayor's wife. He passed away a few months ago. And that's who I play.
She's my bosom
buddy. It's an all-female cast.
It is an all-female cast.
About six.
There's six of us.
Yeah.
Jean, and I play Truvy, which is I own the salon.
You own the salon.
Where we all meet. That's the everything is done inside the salon. The six of us meet. Basically, it's every Saturday morning the girls get their hair done, and we have our little rendezvous and gossip.
Well, it seems to me Meryl Streep also was in a previous production of Steel Magnolias
as
well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's had some really first-class talent in it, and will again tomorrow night, right?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yes.
We're
tomorrow
of course.
At 7:30.
It's a beautiful story, very well written, and we had a wonderful director, April Poland, who's a professor at William & Mary in Virginia. So we had a guest director come out, and she worked with us, and we all worked really very hard, harder than I think a lot of us are accustomed to. Yeah,
and getting the accent and everything.
Yeah,
we had CDs that we listened to try to sound like we were legitimately from Louisiana.
With the hard R's.
The hard R's, not the soft R's.
Northern Louisiana. It's a big,
that's great.
Yes.
So, now I understand, Deanna, that you were involved in theater way back when Clatsop Community College had a theater program, which is a long time ago now.
Long, long time ago.
And
I hope you're not making a comment about my age.
No. I'm making a comment about the fact that you were away from it for quite a long time and have come back. What brought you back?
You know what? The kid grew up and went to school, and I thought, I have got to do something for myself. And when I saw the call for Steel Magnolias, I just thought, this is a show I have always wanted to do. I remember watching it back. When did it come out? In the 82,
88?
Okay. And, of course, I was a young woman back then and thought, oh, what a great show that would be to be in. And I was so happy when Cannon Beach put the call out for the auditions. And I'm over on the opposite side of the bridge in Washington, so it was kind of a, you know, do I want to take the drive? And my husband and I talked about it, and I thought, yeah, I want to do it. And I'm so glad I did, because I got to meet all these great people. And honestly, I'm not just saying this to shine them up because they're sitting next to me. But this is one of the best casts I have ever worked with. And they are the nicest group of ladies. And I mean, we just have a lot of fun. We just have a lot of fun.
Well, it's interesting. There is a lot of cross-pollination across the river between with actors, because I just went to see 12 Angry Jurors a week or so ago. And there were a couple of historians who were in that. So people are willing to go back and forth to play a good meaty role.
If it's good,
So how long does all this go on now?
Till the Labor Day weekend. So September
2nd?
3rd.
So we heard a little bit from Deanna about her background. Can each of you tell me how you got involved in theater to start with, and what you know, what how the bug bit you?
It bit me a long time ago. But here in Cannon Beach, I've been here since 98. So almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Started in doing. The first play I did was On Golden Pond, which was a movie I fell in love with, and I got to play a part and have been involved ever since.
I lost a bet with my best friend in high school. I was always the tech. I did lights and sound, and we had a bet when South Pacific came around that I wouldn't get cast. And I was like, oh, well, I don't need to do it. And so I went and auditioned and got Joe Cable. And didn't understand.
Not a bad part. Joe Cable
didn't understand
was the...
theater. Didn't understand why Joe Cable didn't get to make it to the end. But I just learned in high school and then just kept going.
Joe Cable, for those of you who don't remember South Pacific, is sort of the young end of the cast, the star. He's
the young ingenue's counterpart.
He's the ingenue's counterpart. Yes. So I don't know what you'd call a male ingenue, but that was you.
He's a male ingenue.
I'm Gigi, and I had my first performance in first grade. I was one of the Siamese princesses in The King and I.
Oh, wow.
And that got me hooked. I did children's theater, high school plays, majored in theater in college, and worked in Portland for a number of years. And then I gave it all up and came back to the stage last summer for the first time in 27 years.
Oh, so you too?
Yes, yes. So.
She played my mother-in-law.
Yeah, you don't know how funny that is. But it's true. Wow. I played Frank's mother-in-law in Let's Murder Marsha last summer, and I loved it, and did another comedy in Astoria this winter, and now I'm kind of hooked. I'm really, really loving it.
So you started your career in the March of the Siamese Children.
Yes.
In The King and I.
Yes, I even carried a Siamese cat,
which broke loose,
and that was terrible, but it
was
theater.
That's an adorable thing, because you have all these itty-bitty kids who, a lot of them, I think, first time on stage, and in this beautiful costuming, and wonderful, wonderful way to break into theater.
Frank Jagodnik again. Actually, the first play, well, I did something in grade school, of course, like almost everybody did, but... my wife and I, we've been married 38 years, and within the first month of being married, we did a play in Albany together. And we had a child, and we didn't do anything for a long time, and we ended up back here and finally got started at the Coaster in 97 and been doing things regularly since. In fact, I think I'm the only one that's done a show with everybody here, including Deanna and I had done Nutcracker. I played Father Christmas, and she was
I
one
was
of
a
the
nun.
Typecasting?
No comment. My daughter danced with Maddox, and that's where Frank and I met.
Well, tell us how you got started, Deanna.
Real, you know, similar to what everybody else, grade school, junior high school. And then I don't think I did anything in college, though. Then when I moved out here, I auditioned for the Clatsop shows. Mm-hmm. We did 42nd Street and Oliver, and I can't remember all of them.
The college had a great theater
department. Oh, it had a wonderful department. Yeah, it was. They put on fabulous musicals. It was really sad when that program
absolutely
was broken down. But I also did in the original Into the Woods at Coaster Theater, which was in
1992.
Was it 92? I can't remember. Yeah.
But and who were you?
I was Rapunzel and Cinderella's mother, who was a tree.
You were the voice in the tree.
I was the voice in the tree, yes. And
how do you put that on a resume?
I don't know if it's something you want to do. But
and doesn't she have a wonderful voice?
She does.
Me?
Yes,
oh, well,
she does.
Thank you. But I've always loved theater. I'm from the East Coast, so grew up going to Broadway shows and just kind of going, oh, I want to do that one day. So never did the big stuff, but did the local stuff, which was really a lot of fun. And
the one sad thing about theater, which everybody who's done theater knows, is the closing. Because you guys, I'm sure already, are feeling like a family.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And by the end of this summer, when you're through, you are absolutely going to be bonded to each other. and then it ends. Mm. And that's hard.
We're going to have to break out some Kleenex.
Well, I've seen this happen so many times. I'm very, very aware of it.
Can I make mention of our other cast members of Clue who are not here today?
Yeah. Sure.
We have Dottie Devine.
Dottie Devine is
playing Mrs. White, alias Darren Hull. and we have Ben Fabian is playing Colonel Mustard. And
David Sweeney
is Professor Plum. Ann Bronson is Miss Scarlet. And Kelsey Peterson, who's new to the theater, is playing the detective. And the detective and Mr. Boddy are kind of, we're bookends to kind of keep the show moving with the six suspects. It's kind of what we run them around and make things happen and stuff, like the game really is played. Yeah. So,
you want to tell us about the other cast members and...
Yes, I'd like to. We have, Jean is playing Truvy. Heather Neurath is playing Annelle. And Sheila Schaefer, well known to Astoria, is playing Malin. Her daughter Shelby is playing by Kate Lacaz. Mm-hmm. And then it's Deanna and I round out the cast.
Well, we have 10 legs in the studio, so break 10 legs.
Okay. Thank you.
And I wish you guys great success this summer.
We,
and
we just also like fun. Have our summer camp for kids that we do every summer. It's the week from July 31st to August the 11th. The ages are 8 and up. It's called The Land of Oz.
And how does somebody sign up for that?
You can call the theater at 503-436-0609, and anyone that answers can help sign up. There's also, I think there's still scholarships that we have that we've gotten donations from people and companies that if they don't have the money, they may be able to get a scholarship.
That's great.
So...
A great way for kids to get involved and to learn their other things than electronic devices.
So. And they do a show. They end up on that Friday doing a show. So it's very cool.
Sounds great. Well, thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to be talking about fiber arts next and the quilting.
It's a place of noble thinkers, great scholars and great drinkers, but beyond them all for splendor, shone the queen of all Argyle. And if you could have seen her there, boys, if you had just been there, the swan was in her movement, and the morning in her smile. All the roses in the garden, they bow and ask her pardon, for not one could match the beauty of the queen of all Argyle.
All right, we're coming back to Arts Live and Local on KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, live on the web at coastradio.org. My name is Roger Rocca, sitting in today for Carol Newman, who is off at the State Fair and hopefully having a good time and eating lots of cotton candy and all those kinds of things. We have with us now Janet Robinson and Doris Bash. They are co-curators for the second annual Quilt and Fiber Arts Show. With exhibiting artists from the three villages, Manzanita, Nehalem, and Wheeler. And this is taking place at the Hoffman Center for the Arts in Manzanita. Coming up very soon, starts what, July 14th?
Mm-hmm, next Friday.
And you are?
I'm Janet Robinson.
Okay. And you're Doris?
I'm Doris Bash.
Okay. Well, tell us about your art. What do you do in the show?
Well, I'm a quilter, but a kind of late to start sewing quilter. I didn't start sewing until I was about 65 years old. So I'm still considering myself kind of an advanced beginner, but I love fiber arts and I like seeing it and doing it.
And you know that's not unusual here, where
no.
people finish working and do this thing that they may have wanted to do in the back of their minds for all this time, and they start getting into art, and some become extraordinarily good at it.
Yes, they do. They do.
Doris
is very good at it.
Well, I live in Nehalem, and I am the owner of Creative Fabrics in Wheeler. And so 36 years ago, when I started the store, I made my first quilt. And I've been buying fabric, selling fabric, making quilts for 36 years.
Hmm. So what can people expect when they go to the show? What are they going to see? What different kinds of things? It's not all quilts. It's a mixture.
You know, what's really nice about this show, it's so local. So people come to the show and then they see friends they didn't know who quilted and made these beautiful art pieces. And so it's a big surprise. And we limit it to people just in the three villages. So mm-hmm. it's a very local show and fun for everyone in the community to find the interesting pieces.
Now, you started it last year, and it worked great. And
It did. We had about 25 artists showing their work, and we tell people they can bring one or two items for sale or not for sale. And last year, two-thirds of them were not for sale, mm-hmm. and we got feedback that people would like to be able to have more things to buy.
Sure.
And 30% of the purchase price goes to the Hoffman Center for the Arts, so it's a fundraiser for them, too, which is very nice.
That's pretty good. Well, most artists like it when people buy some of
yes.
their art.
Yes, and this year...
eat and things like that.
It does. This year, two-thirds of the pieces are for sale.
Mm-hmm. So along with being able to look at the things that are on display, you're going to have some demonstrations, I understand?
Yes, we'll have demonstrations every day. They'll start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday, July 14th, Saturday the 15th, and Sunday the 16th, and the following weekend, the same thing. So we have Positively Postcards by Bonnie Sable. We have some needle felting by Janine Rumble, and we have hand applique by Janet Serbrook.
It's interesting how the arts sort of tie people together across the centuries, because the arts you're doing, the quilting and so on, are an art that goes back hundreds of years of years. And when you think about it, painting, you know, goes back to the caves, and pottery goes back to making utensils and so mm-hmm. on. So mm-hmm. it sort of ties us together across the centuries in a way. And you can, when you're working on your art, you can imagine someone doing something similar a long time back. Mm-hmm. Have patterns changed in terms of the kinds of patterns you create when you quilt? Or are there traditional things you do and then kind of new directions you go in?
There's a big new direction in modern quilting, but some people still like the traditional quilting. You'll see all kinds of things and a lot of fiber arts too. So we'll have some clothing, some scarves for sale that have been knitted, and baskets, I think.
Well, fiber art covers a broad spectrum.
It does.
Of
it really
things.
Does.
Things
it
that just
does.
Hang on your wall, but things that you wear and so on.
And things you use.
And
yes.
things you use.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us now, what are the hours of this show? And it's going to be on for a month, really.
No, two weekends.
Two weekends, yes.
And it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of those two weekends, starting on the 14th and ending on the 23rd. And the hours on Fridays and Saturdays are 3 to 5, and the hours on Sunday are 1 to 4. Across the street at the Hoffman Gardens, there's also music in the gardens on Sunday. So if people come on Sunday, they can go out and hear some music, come in and see the items in the show. So it'll be a kind of...
It sounds like a great way to... to kind of spend your afternoon and
yes.
your Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. And the artist reception is next Friday on the 14th, and that's a good time to meet a number of the artists. Hopefully all of them will be there. And people sometimes like to chat with those who have created these pieces, ask questions, make comments, and so that's an opportunity for the public to talk to the artists.
Had a great time if you're an aspiring artist yourself to find out, to get some tips for
yes.
how people did what they
exactly.
did and so on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Anything else that people should know about the show that I have not asked you?
Well, I think the other piece, in addition to what Dora said about, you know, sort of surprises because you see friends and neighbors that you had no idea had this talent, the artists have submitted statements with their entries that will be next to the artwork, and you get an idea of what inspired them, how they struggled with a piece, how they did a piece, and so there's some way to find out more about the pieces other than just looking at them.
Right, and you raise a great point. Art just doesn't kind of automatically flow out of you as a finished thing. It's something that takes work and adjustment and work
mm-hmm.
and adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get this effect and it's not quite working and how do I get there and so
yes,
on.
Yes, exactly.
So,
exactly.
So you said you've started this fairly recently and you've been doing it for a while.
Yes, a long time. but I'm also working all the time, so you know how that gets in the way. You
it
don't get
does.
To do as much as you'd like for yourself. But.
Now, do you focus on this particular kind of art, or you do other art as well?
I focus on quilting at the moment, yeah.
All right.
Pretty much.
Well, thanks very much for coming in. Again, we've been talking with Janet Robertson and Doris Bash, and they are the co-curators for the second annual Quilt and Fiber Art Show. This is artists from Manzanita, Nehaliman Wheeler. It's taking place at the Hoffman Center for the Arts, July 14th through the 23rd. And again, the days are Fridays and Saturdays from 3 to 5.
Correct.
And Sundays 1 to 4.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
All right. And you were listening to Arts Live and Local on KMUN. And we got a few more things to talk about here, but here's a little music in the meantime. Listening to Arts Live and Local, a couple other things going on here. Info on the Ilwaco Art Walk you'll find just inside the cover of the free Coast Weekend paper. And details on tomorrow's Astoria Art Walk you'll find on page 9. Other things going on in theater, the Peninsula Association of Performing Artists is opening a new show tonight, the musical comedy She Loves Me. The show plays at 7 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays and 2 on Sundays through August 6th. That's at Fort Columbia in Chinook, and the theater is sort of just inside the park entrance off to the right. You can get your tickets online at papatheater.com. Shanghai in Astoria opened its 33rd season last night at the Astor Street Opry Company Playhouse at 129 West Bond Street. An exciting new feature this year is indoor bathrooms. The show runs through September 9th, performances Thursday through Saturday, and a few Sunday matinees. For more information, you can go to AstorStreetOpryCompany.com. Also, the Opry Company is holding auditions later this month for a different production. Daphne du Maurier's The Birds will go on stage in October. Auditions will be held July 25th and 26th, and that will take place at 6 p.m. at the Playhouse. The River City Playhouse in Ilwaco is holding auditions at 6:30 tonight for an upcoming one-act play festival. Again, that's at 6:30 tonight. That theater is at 127 Lake Street in Ilwaco. So you could go and see the art walk and go audition at the same time. For more info, you can call 360-244-0318. And Napton Cove Heritage Center and the Pacific Northwest Living Historians will present a living history program tomorrow and Sunday. Costumed members of the historians group will demonstrate weapons, tools, and skills that were employed by the Lewis and Clark expedition. Napton Cove Heritage Center is on Washington State Route 401. That's about 3 miles east of the Astoria Megler Bridge. The history program will be from 10 to 4 tomorrow and 10 to 3 on Sunday. And the museum inside the historic U.S. Quarantine Station building will be open each afternoon during that event this weekend. All right, you've been listening to Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio. My name is Roger Rocca, sitting in today for Carol Newman, who is off enjoying the Oregon State Fair. I hope you've enjoyed the show and have found some interesting things to do this weekend. We've got lots going on in the arts here in our neck of the woods this summer. So lots of things for locals, lots of things for visitors. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.